Now to quite a different, savage kind of wit.
How long since your last employment?
I have several irons in the fire in the West End.
You know I never come to see you because if you weren't any good, it would break my heart.
But I just might be very good.
They printed the reviews of your King Lear in the Sydney papers.
They thought enough of me over there to give me a knighthood.
But that was before your King Lear.
When Patrick White's memoir Flaws in the Glass appeared, it caused a scandal. Many devoted readers were shocked by the level of harsh judgment and caustic bitchery. Some who thought Patrick a friend were cut. But there'd always been elements of this in White's work, alongside a fairly humble groping for or inquiry into grace. There'd been a camp, sometimes savage, social observation. The social scene of Sydney in the 1960s was present in much of his work, and he could be withering. He was born into this scene. It was where his mother belonged, and much as he might have despised it, he never really escaped it. The Eye of the Storm, the novel, was written after the death of White's mother, and it's the tale of a dying matriarch and her two grown children who've come back from Europe to Australia to her bedside in search of what? A sign of her affection? Money? Where there's a will, there's a relative, as Barbara Mobbs, White's executor, remarked recently. Producer Anthony Waddington understood this. Mobbs gave him the right to adapt. He found Fred Skepsey, and Skepsey in turn persuaded Judy Davis and Jeffrey Rush to play Elizabeth Hunter's expatriate children. And as Hunter herself, he cast Charlotte Rampling. It's a fearless performance from Rampling, because Elizabeth Hunter is both rattled and yet sometimes we're able to glimpse the beauty she once was. Not always in flashback. She is always, however, formidable. Neither Basil, a theatrical knight, now a little out of favour, and Dorothy, the daughter who could never outshine her mother, who married a minor European princeling to win her mother's approval, neither of Elizabeth's children ever really felt they were loved. Both are scratching, rather. Dorothy carefully lays out her outfit on the bed each day and pins a brooch to cover a moth hole. Basil is resting between engagements. Both put off their first meeting with their mother, who's being cared for at home by a young nurse, Flora, a beautiful performance here from Alexandra Skepsey, and her elderly German housekeeper, Lottie. Lottie indeed dresses up in Elizabeth's old party frock at night to sing German cabaret songs for Elizabeth Hunter's amusement. Helen Morse plays Lottie, and some of the saddest moments of this film are when the fragile world she and Elizabeth have starts to crumble when the children threaten to put Elizabeth in a nursing home. Relationships which haven't worked in life are very rarely reconciled on the deathbed. Dorothy has to deal with a particularly painful memory of her mother's opportunistic betrayal. Judy Davis brings actually a quite reserved vulnerability to Dorothy, the daughter never quite good enough. Basil, well, in this version, Basil is the narrator, and as a theatrical knight on his uppers, Rush is, well, fruity, as Rush can be. It's a rich, sad, bitchy canvas, this film. Skepsey and screenwriter Judy Morris have captured White's tone pretty well, I think. But I wonder how the film, set in the so distant Sydney of the early 70s, will be received by a generation for whom these people, these sorry socialites, are as distant as the early astronauts. And I also wonder about the ending, those very last shots, a frame within a frame, somehow diminish the drama. Misplaced irony, perhaps? The Eye of the Storm is a considerable achievement nonetheless, added to White's theatre legacy, the tragicomedies he left us.